be with you. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be visiting with us this morning, we especially welcome you here. If you're joining us by way of the video live stream, we welcome you. Rick Hall is on video this morning, and he'd be happy to hear from you in the chat. Just leave him a comment and say hi. We'd love to know you're there. And also, if you're listening in by way of the Cathedral Audio podcast, we welcome you as well. Just a note for those who might be with us with younger children, and if there's a need for you to get up and move about a bit, that's always all right. There are a few items at the back in the corner back this way that might offer some distraction if necessary, and we want you to be comfortable and are glad that you're here. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Notices and announcements are in your leaflet, and I'll just highlight a couple of things. First of all, to just say again a word of thanks for those who were able to help with Pancake Supper this past week. So it was a great event, and Gary has left some words of thanks there, and our thanks to you, Gary, for organizing that, and to the Guild of St. Joseph. So good event. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday is our annual congregational meeting. We'll be holding that after 10:30 worship with a light lunch before. There is an opportunity for you to contribute to that, so there's a sign-up list at the back on the bulletin board, or you can give Andreas Decken a call, or just give a call to the office, and we'd be happy to have your contributions. We're thinking that the meeting will probably begin at about 12:30, so if you happen not to be here earlier in the morning, you're welcome to come by, even for lunch. We'll probably start lunch about 11:45 or so. Along with that is recognition that we are looking for still a few individuals to fill roles among us. It's going to be necessary for the congregation to elect 6 delegates to synod. We have 1 nominee at this point, so we're looking for nominations. Also, there's still a member of bishop and chapter that's needed, and that's going to have to be a bishop's appointment this time, but we're looking for suggestions and recommendations, so feel free to nominate for that position as well. And also, just a note that Lenten programming continues, and the Tuesday afternoon lectionary study that happens at 2:30. This past week we had materials for that in print form. We're going to offer an online option to that this week. So if that's something that you're interested in being part of, please get in touch with me or contact the office, and we'll make sure that you get the connection information, or we'll meet at the Memorial Hall in the boardroom at 2:30. That'll be about an hour, and there are materials that I have in print form with me today, so if it's something you're interested in, please indicate that. The ones that we had last week were a little out of order, so I've got a fresh batch there, and you're welcome to have one of those if you wish. Is there anything else that needs announcing? As we, yes, Isabel. Listen, Love, and Pray is tomorrow evening at 7 in the Hall Lounge. Thank you. And as we continue in our prayers, I might just suggest that today we do offer prayers for those who cycles of prayer ask us to remember. We're praying for our own Anglican Church of Canada, and we might remember Anne, our acting primate, and the Bishop of Algoma and Moosonee. In the provincial cycle of prayer, we're praying for the province of the Northern Lights and Archbishop Gregory Kerr Wilson and the provincial council there. I think it goes without saying that as political instability continues, and there is growing economic uncertainty, that we might pray for our world in that regard. Pray for peace in a world that is torn apart by war. Let us remember in our prayers those who are preparing for baptism, confirmation, or marriage. Pray for those who are misled by the false gods of this present age. Remember in our prayers all those who hunger in body or in spirit. And remember those who are ill or recovering from illness, praying for those who we list in our cathedral prayers, as well remembering Pope Francis, Jim Clowater as he recuperates from a knee replacement, and we give thanks for recovery of Sasha Dentz, that's Tom Fetter's wife, Sasha. And as we continue in our prayers, I invite you to turn with me in the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer to page 30. And there you'll find the words of the Great Litany. As you kneel, let us pray.
One God, have mercy upon us. the day of judgment.
Good Lord, deliver us.
We sinners do beseech thee to hear us, O Lord God, and that it may please thee to rule and govern thy holy church universal in the right way.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to keep and strengthen in the true worshiping of thee, in holiness of life, and in devotion to her people, thy servant Charles, our most gracious King and Governor.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to be his defender and keeper, giving him the victory over all his enemies.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless and preserve all the royal family.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to give all bishops, priests, and deacons true knowledge and understanding of thy word, and that both by their preaching and living, they may set it forth and show it accordingly.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to send forth laborers into thy harvest, to prosper their work by thy Holy Spirit, to make thy saving health known unto all nations, and to hasten thy kingdom.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless the people of our country and the commonwealth, and to endue those set in authority with grace, wisdom, and understanding.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless and guide the judges and magistrates, giving them grace to execute justice and to maintain truth.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless and keep the king's forces by sea and land and air, and to shield them in all dangers and adversities.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to give to all nations unity, peace, and concord, that they may serve thee without fear.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless and protect all who serve humankind by their labor and learning.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to preserve all that travel, all women laboring of child, all sick persons and young children, and to show thy pity upon all prisoners and captives.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to defend and provide for all widows and orphans, and all who are desolate and oppressed.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bless and keep all thy
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to give to all thy people increase of grace, to hear meekly thy word, and to receive it with pure affection, and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to strengthen such as do stand, to encourage the faint-hearted, to raise up those who fall, and finally to beat down Satan under our feet.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to succor, help, and comfort all that are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We beseech thee, good Lord,
to have mercy upon all men. grace of thy Holy Spirit, to amend our lives according to thy holy will.
We beseech thee, good Lord.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us. Discipline ourselves in submission to your Spirit, that as you know our weakness, so we may know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." Here endeth the lesson.
Selected verses of Psalm 91 You'll find in the prayer book on page 448, we'll be singing the first, the third, and the fourth sections of the psalm, Psalm 91.
The epistle is written in the 10th chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, beginning at the 8th verse. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here ends the epistle.
Thank you.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you,
from all evil and mischief, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil. Good Lord, deliver us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke's version of the experience of Jesus in the wilderness, just as it does in both Matthew and Mark, follows soon after Jesus' baptism. Knee-deep in the Jordan River, Jesus heard a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Luke, armed with the author's pen, and scholars debate whether or not the words from the cloud were heard by those who were there that day or not. Through Luke, the omniscient narrator, we, the listener, are granted special privilege and become witnesses who exist outside of the text. I've known many who enjoy poking fun at biblical text because it contains its fair share of that which can't be proven. That is, proven scientifically. It's easy to forget that the Gospels are not history books. The text of Scripture encompasses plenty of historical realities, to be sure, but it is not, nor is it meant, to be a report of an experiment, a documentary, or a precise recounting of historical fact. Historical record is not the purpose of the gospel text. We see that today in the passage that is the gospel for today. While Luke tells about a wilderness experience of Jesus, it's also to be understood that Jesus walks this journey in solitude. And if that's the case, there are no human witnesses. The others Luke names are spiritual entities, the Holy Spirit and the devil. So we might ask ourselves, how did Luke know the details? Perhaps it was part of later casual table talk, or maybe even travel conversation with the disciples. As Luke tells it, having been baptized and hearing his identity confirmed by the voice of God himself, Jesus gets away. Luke says he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to sort things out. Who is he, really? What will being the Son of God require of him? And while we all should recognize the identity that is ours as sons and daughters of God, we'll have to admit that Jesus was different. Jesus was unique. His sonship was messiahship. It shouldn't surprise us. That called for some serious thought, some serious focus, and prayer. Luke says it was a physical journey into the harsh Middle Eastern desert. On an entirely different level, some suggest it was an effective illustration, a metaphor for a significant time of soul searching. And maybe it was both. That's an experience I'll bet you've had at least once in your life. I've had several. Who am I really? What am I supposed to do now? Where am I going? Who am I supposed to be with? We can imagine truth to say that most life-changing decisions are made when we are between the ages of 18 and 30. Decisions we make during those years will determine who we become, what our vocation will be, whether or not we will marry, where we'll live, and what we do as we live there. It shouldn't be easy to miss that Jesus' wilderness journey is but a mirror of a pattern and a faith experience already well established. The tests that confronted Jesus had all been run before. The gospel writers leave us obvious clues that should help us to connect the dots. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years after the Exodus. They too had some serious sorting out to do. As one writer put it, it took a day to get the Hebrews out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Hebrews. Sometimes we need not look very hard to see that there's still some Egypt in all of us to this day. It's difficult to change, especially when lack of responsibility, perhaps a byproduct of slavery of any sort, has become a convenience, maybe even a comfort. Food, power, and protection can lead us into a circumstance of complacent living. So it's worth noting that the temptations, the tests, were well crafted, customized for Jesus' unique circumstance. They may not be ours, but rest assured there are some made just for you, just as there are those that fit me to a T. The most successful temptation is built out of gray areas. Because nothing that the devil presented was bad in itself. There's nothing wrong with bread. During the 40 years, it wasn't until Israelites placed reliance on God that manna, a word literally meaning, "What is this?" fell from heaven to feed them. Food is a good thing, especially when we're hungry. Even better when we can help provide it for others who need it. "Go ahead," says the devil. "Turn that worthless stone into something that will satisfy the stomach." One does not live by bread alone. Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy. And then showing him the kingdoms of the world, he says, "Go ahead, all this is yours if you only serve me." A small price to pay, Jesus, for everything. And there's nothing wrong with political power. There's nothing wrong with influence. Most who enter politics do so because of the difference they can make. The devil looks straight into the camera and tells the lie that he owns all of these kingdoms. They are his to give. It seems that these days all that's necessary for people to believe a lie is that it's said convincingly and perhaps just louder the next time. Deuteronomy again, straight to the point, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil was catching on. He tries a little scripture himself. Let's see. How about the Psalms? "Go ahead, do a free fall experiment from the top of the temple," the devil coaches him. "As it is written, he will give his angels charge over you." And Jesus' reply, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Deuteronomy 6:16. And the devil departed from him until an opportune time. He would continue to use his craft, to be sure. Later, convincing some of those closest to Jesus to do evil's bidding. Judas would betray. Peter would deny. Many would be gripped by unbelief. We're faced with those opportune times on a daily basis. How do we make the right choices? Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. And I think we need to remember that we're not alone. Study the Word and seek out its truth. Follow age-old patterns of walking in the way. Surrounded by the Spirit and with one another, we do it together. Amen. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Thank you. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We continue now with the thanksgiving and consecration on page 78 of the Book of Common Prayer. As you kneel, let us pray. Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. As you kneel, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing that thou hast made, and dost forgive the sins of all them that are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us depart in peace in the name of the Lord.